You're listening to Murdochian Tales, a short story collection by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. Today's story, me, myself, and I, and I, and I. It had been the worst day of my life, until I got home and started walking up the stairs to my apartment. That's when it got downright weird. I'm not talking about your average kind of weird that comes in day-to-day events like hitting all the lights green on your way home, or getting in the fast lane on the freeway and actually going fast. No, this was different, and after getting fired from a temp agency, something I didn't think could actually happen, and getting dumped by yet another girlfriend, I was prepared for this sucky day to just end. It, on the other hand, was just getting started. The stairs to my apartment were narrow. So narrow, in fact, that it was difficult for two people to pass each other on them unless you're on a landing. This is one of those things that make the complex so quaint and the tenants so close. It's when strangers are on the stairs and don't honor the rules of engagement. On the worst day of my life, I encountered such a stranger. This man wore what looked like gray monk's robes tied at the waist with a length of steel cable. He was nearly bald, with just tufts of gray hair on either side of his head that came down to really bad-looking sideburns. It's not that the sideburns looked bad, it's just that they wiggled violently as his jowl shook when he came down the stairs. Now, as I said, the rules of engagement went on the stairs this small, and in my apartment, whoever's going down must give way to whoever's going up. I, therefore, kept going up, while this odd-looking man, who was staring at his sandaled feet, kept coming down. I guess it was more confusion on my part as to why this man was in the building. It was way too far away from Halloween for him to be dressed up, and he certainly wasn't a tenant. I guess that's why I stopped him to find out what he was up to. "Hey, old-timer," I said, as politely as I could, before he ran into me and knocked me down a couple of steps. "Out of the way, boy! I'm in a hurry!" the old man snapped back at me. This, of course, didn't sit well with me, and I felt, being that this was the worst day of my life, I needed to give him peace of my mind. "Not just a minute," I said, and I froze. He looked up from his sandals and into my eyes. A flash of recognition played across the old man's face, and his deep blue eyes locked with mine, and I thought I felt him actually in my mind. I struggled to recall who he was.
"Bobby?"
the old man said. I took a moment to recover and answered, "Yeah?"
"I guess I'm not in such a hurry anymore."
I was really confused. How'd this strange old man know my name? What was he doing in the stairwell of my building? I thought about it, but before I could ask,
"What do you say you and I go grab a cup of coffee? I think you've had a really bad day and can use one."
I wanted to protest, but the man had already put his hand on my shoulder and turned me around. I wasn't given much choice but to lead the way back down the stairs, which is what I did. As we headed down the stairs, I had to ask, "Do I know you?"
"Better than you can imagine, but we'll talk about that over a cup of coffee."
I kept racking my brain trying to figure out where I knew this old guy from. It bugged me. He looked so familiar. I let the question slide until we were on the street. "So what's your name?" I had to know at least that much about this guy. Come to think of it, I needed to know more than that. "And how do you know I had a bad day?"
"You can call me Butch, and the rest will come in due time."
"Butch? Are you serious? That's my middle name. What a coincidence!" The old man frowned and looked down at the sidewalk.
"Yes, isn't it?"
He didn't seem too interested in further discussion, so I decided to contemplate the situation with much the same frown as Butch. What an odd coincidence for his first name to be the same as my middle name. I was so wrapped up in my own thoughts that I hadn't noticed that the man turned into the coffee shop on the corner like he knew the place. I pulled my hands out of my pockets and followed him in. The place was nearly deserted except for Buddy. His name wasn't Buddy, but that's what I always called him. Wearing his paper hat, he smiled when he saw Butch and I enter. Butch, without looking up, headed straight to the counter and set some money in front of Buddy.
"Good morning, Buddy. I need a venti latte for me and a venti vanilla latte for my friend."
I stood in shock. I wasn't sure if it was because Butch had called Buddy, Buddy, or that he knew what coffee I drank. I felt fear grip me, thinking that this old guy might be some kind of weird stalker. I couldn't let that one go. "How did you know?" I didn't get to finish my question before he answered.
"I will answer all of your questions in just a few minutes.
Then he muttered to himself,
"Was I always so impatient?"
Buddy, unfazed, went straight to work making the coffees. I had trouble keeping my mouth from asking questions, and each Butch cut off as each tried to escape my lips. Butch was determined to keep all my questions at bay until we were sitting down. He stuffed the coffee cup into my hands and we took a seat near the door and away from Buddy.
"Now I'm going to try and keep you from asking questions. I'm sure I won't succeed, but I'm going to try anyway."
He placed his hand into his robes and removed a metallic binder. Except for the metal cover, it looked like an ordinary binder. Nothing special. He placed it on the table between us, but didn't address it right away.
"My name isn't Butch, but I want you to call me that to prevent confusion."
"So, what is your name?" He sighed.
"My name is Robert. My middle name is Butch." "Cool!"
I was truly amazed. This old guy had my first and middle name. "So what's your last name?"
"I can't believe I was ever so stupid."
"What do you mean?"
"And I couldn't shut up."
"You're losing me."
"I suspected I would. Now look, can you stop asking questions?" the old man asked in a huff.
"If you tell me your last name."
"Though I doubt I'll stop you from asking questions. It's Roberts."
"So your name is Robert Butch Roberts?"
"Yes."
Butch, or Robert, sat back and looked at me with his cold blue eyes.
"This is so cool. We've got the same name."
He shook his head and looked down at the notebook. He placed his hand on it and started to pick it up, then removed his hand from its metallic surface and picked up his coffee instead.
"My name is your name, and your name is my name."
He said that as if it needed no further explanation. I must have had a puzzled look on my face, for he sighed again and said,
"I'm you."
This had me really confused. "How can you be me?" Robert put his hands on his face, and I thought I heard him start to cry, or laugh. He took a moment to compose himself, sat up straight, pulled his chair a little closer to the table.
"I'm from the future."
As if that explained it all. Again, I must have had that puzzled look on my face, for he continued,
"I built a time machine, and I've come back from the future."
I wanted to let this sink in for a moment, but my mouth was already asking questions. "So, you're me, but from the future?"
"Correct."
"So, how'd I end up so fat and ugly?"
"I'm not here to discuss my appearance," Robert snapped, slamming his hand on the table. "I don't have a lot of time to waste on any more stupid questions."
"But if you're me, these are your stupid questions too, right?"
"I'm not going to discuss future or past events with you." "Well, actually I am. Let me get to the point."
He reached out and took up the notebook. He held it in his hands and allowed it to unfold. My eyes widened as I saw the inside color of the notebook flash and come to life. Spirals of red and gold sparks rose into the air, forming an object. I don't know what it was, but it looked really cool with all different knobs, dials, and other such things. It looked kind of like some kind of machine. "What's that?" I thought I'd make myself sound smart.
"Is that some kind of machine or something?"
Once again, Robert sighed. He did a lot of that while we talked.
"Bobby, I need you to understand why I'm here. This day was the worst day in my life. Your life. As you would say, today was a sucky day. I'm here to change that."
"How?" He really had my attention now.
"This is a time machine. Do I invent a time machine? Well..."
Robert started to look nervous.
"Let's just say that this time around you will."
I don't get it.
"I worked in the plant where they just finished building this machine. This notebook contains all the plans needed to build one. If used properly..."
"If used properly what?"
"If used properly, you can change your life. You won't end up like this."
He waved a hand over his body.
"You can have a better life than I did. Then you will. This will give you the opportunity you need to make a difference. I'll tell you now that if you don't take me up on this offer, things will only get worse for you."
I sat back and rubbed my chin. More because I thought I looked smart when I did this than there were any actually thoughts going on. I mean, he was right. How could my life get better? I'd just been fired from a temp agency. Who would hire me now? Obviously, I'd end up working in a plant that built this thing. But look at this old guy I'd become. This was a no-brainer. Robert closed the book and slid it across the table to me.
"Thanks,"
I said and reached out to take the notebook. A hand took hold of my wrist and stopped me from taking it.
"Don't do it, Bobby."
The hand was attached to a body, as most hands are, but this body, as well as the face, was me, only older. I could easily recognize myself as I was a few pounds heavier, but dressed quite nicely. This was me, maybe 10 years older. I looked to Robert as if he could provide an answer.
"Who are you?"
Robert asked, just as confused as I was by this turn of events. "I'm Rob. I mean, I'm you," he said to Robert. "But I'm not. I'm still Bobby here, but Bobby I'll become when I accept that notebook."
It worked! It truly worked! Just look at yourself, Bobby!
I wasn't sure if he was talking to me or Rob. The Rob version of me from the future, that is. "Of course it worked," Rob said, as if offended. "How could it not work? You gave me everything I needed to succeed."
"So why are you here stopping yourself from taking the tablet?"
That was a good question. I wanted to know myself. "This isn't the life I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to be you. I'm supposed to lead a good, decent life. I'm not supposed to be a rich man. I don't like who I've become, and I've come back to stop this from happening."
"Do you think you'll be able to stop the events that have been set into motion?"
Apparently, the older version of me was quicker at asking questions, for I couldn't get a question in while the two of me talked. "You did once, but I found out things about time travel that shouldn't be. I'm here to stop bad things from happening. I plan on taking this notebook back where it belongs."
"You can't do that," I snapped.
"And who are you to stop me?" Rob asked snootily. "You are in no position to prevent me from doing what I want to do, and neither are you, old man." I guess I would become a jerk if I took the tablet. I suddenly had second thoughts about taking it. That was until a hand reached out and picked up the tablet. It wasn't the hand of either Rob or Robert, but I could tell it was me again. This version of me was wearing rags and looked destitute. A bottle of cheap wine shook in his hand, as did the notebook in his other.
"Who are you?"
Rob, Robert, and I asked together. The sound was creepy, but I stayed focused on the new version of myself.
"I'm Bob,"
he said, if that explained it all. With a sigh, he put the notebook in my hands.
"I'm what will happen to you if you don't take that notebook. I fought with this decision my whole life. I lived a what-if life, and I can't stand it anymore. I found the plant where this version of you worked,"
he pointed to Robert,
"and I managed to steal one of those time machines." "How'd you get past security?"
Robert asked. "And if you didn't take the notebook, how does that explain me being here?" Rob asked.
"From what I recall,"
Robert said before Bob could answer,
"is there are multiple timelines now. All appear to stem from this one point." "Of course they all stem from this one point,"
Bob said, annoyed.
"What other time would I come to? Everything happened here, in this little coffee shop."
"Keep your voices down," I told Bob. "I don't know about the rest of you, but I still got to live here once you all go back to respective times."
"He's got a point,"
Robert said.
"Let's all sit down."
"Buddy," Rob called out. "We need two more venti vanilla lattes over here." At least I kept drinking the same coffee when I got rich. I just hope I'd be able to keep this all straight. "So, Bob, how do I get into this state you're in?" I asked the bum version of myself.
"As I said, I spend my whole life wondering, what if? What if I'd taken the notebook, knowing that I'd turn into a rich jerk? Would I be able to prevent myself from becoming a jerk? Would I be able to do something different? Could I change the future?"
"Watch who you're calling a jerk, you old drunk," Rob spat. "That's me you're talking to," I spat back. But then, Rob was me too. This was getting all so confusing. "Listen to him," a new voice said. This one was attached to a version of me that looked a lot like Rob, but a little softer around the edges. His clothes looked the same, but in a nicer way. "I did, and things turned out all right. The first time, with Rob, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm sure I let myself get carried away with all the money, power, and glory of it all. The second time, with me, I knew what would happen. Rob pointed that out. Thank you, Rob. Things will turn out all right. Bobby, go ahead and take the notebook."
"And who are you?" I asked.
"I'm Robbie," he said with a smile and pulled up a chair. "So let me make sure I've got this right," I said, gripping my head. "If I take the notebook, I turn into Rob here and become someone I don't like. If I don't take the notebook, I become Bob and I'm destitute. But knowing I'll end up a jerk or a drunk, I can take the notebook and become Robbie. So, Robert, what do I do?" Robert was the oldest me here, so I thought it best to ask him.
"That decision is yours. Apparently it has already been made a little more difficult by the appearance of the rest here. I came here to give you this notebook. I still aim to do that. I want the best for you. For me. For us all."
"I agree. I still say no. Robbie here doesn't convince me that things will turn out all right. Why, if we can all get here,
Can't we just give the young version of ourselves some money to help him out so he doesn't become any of us? He slapped a huge stack of $100 bills on the table. We all stopped talking as a glorious vision walked through the door. She was tall and all legs. Her red dress matched her red hair and hugged all her curves in all the right places. All five versions of me were staring. She noticed.
There you are, boys. I knew I'd find you here.
Her voice was huskier than I thought it would be, but still enticing. I looked deep into her eyes, and I thought I recognized her.
I'm Roberta. I thought you'd all stare when I got here.
Roberta? I asked once I regained my senses. Do we... know you?
Silly.
She playfully swatted me on the shoulder.
I'm you.
There was a collective gasp from the group.
How's that possible?
Rob asked, shocked.
You should know, Roberta said with a wink. It was your money that sent me off to college to get an education and to get my life going in a different direction. I wanted to stop by and say thank you.
My money? What?
There was a lot of confused mumbling going on, and I lost track of most of it.
Boys, boys, now listen. I took your money, believing that the option of taking the notebook would be wrong in many senses. By the way,
she leaned down and spoke directly to me, but I found myself looking down her blouse instead of into her eyes.
When you get to school, and Juan asks you if you want to try something different, say yes.
Now then, she stood back up and refocused.
I took the money, but I also took the notebook. I went to college, got a business degree, then I built the machine. Oh, and I met my husband Juan and had a sex change operation. Juan helped me figure out that I'd be able to handle the responsibility better as a woman. I thought I'd come back and let you all know that.
I reached out and pushed the money back towards Rob. Buddy appeared with the two coffees I had forgotten that one of me had ordered. You guys need anything else? He appeared unfazed by the whole ordeal of multiple me's. I think we're good, Robbie said, handing Buddy some money.
So what now?
Robert asked.
It seems like we've all given Bobby here a great deal to think about.
It would seem, Rob said. He takes our advice every time. Bob's head snapped up off his chest.
What we need to do is figure out which option is best. I know which it is.
There was a new version of me pointing a gun at my chest.
This craziness ends now!
Before he could fire, another me jumped from the side and knocked the gun away. I was sure glad that I saved myself. I caught my breath. All of me did. And I looked down at the table. The notebook was gone.
Where's the notebook?
All of me looked at the table. The answer was obvious to all but me.
Buddy must have taken it,
Robert said. Right, Rob said.
Let's get him,
Roberta said, and she pulled a gun from her purse. The snarl on her face made her look really attractive. I must have gotten a lot of plastic surgery to look that good.
A lot.
I was the only one who stayed at the table. I saw that the notebook hadn't been taken by Buddy, but had fallen to the floor. Rob had also forgotten the money. I thought it would be best to leave before things got worse. I pocketed the cash as best I could, picked up the notebook, and left the coffee shop. I could hear all of the me's yelling and screaming at Buddy. I was glad to be out of there. I was getting too confused. I went up the street and into an alley. I figured I'd collect myself. This day turned out to be really weird. I didn't like any of the versions of myself. I didn't like being a wishy-washy punk who did what others told me, either. Each version of me seemed to have an agenda, and I didn't want to take any of them up on their ideas. As I sat there, I saw one of the time machines. Just sitting there. One of the versions of me must have come to this point and left the machine here. Then I had a brilliant idea. All of the versions of me came back to this point in time. If I went back in time and gave myself the money before I met myself, I could avoid all this. Possibly keep my girlfriend, and I'd be rich. But wouldn't that create one of those holes in times? A paradox? What if I come back to this time? What if I never met myself and gave myself this notebook? Would I still have the notebook and the money? What the hell? It was worth a shot. Obviously, I still had the notebook and the money in my hands. I would just bop back and tell myself to come here and make sure they didn't know about my plans. Then it hit me. I had the notebook. I had the money. I must have done that already. How else could the notebook have disappeared off the table and reappeared at my feet? In all the confusion, I could have done that at any time. I climbed up onto the machine and looked at the dials. They looked easy enough to use. I set the dial for 1 week in the past. 1 week should be enough for me to plan this all out. I wondered and I thought, what does the future hold for me this time?
Thank you for listening to Murdochian Tales, a short story collection by J.R. Murdoch. For more information and contact information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.